With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. Winter weather has arrived in the form of snow in western South Dakota. Much of the Black Hills and areas in higher elevation saw heavy snowfall over the night. Meteorologist Stephen Tremarkey says the region set a new record with the earliest amount of snow. The previous record was September 11th of 2014.
Areas around Weed have gotten close to a foot of snow, heavy wet snow, and it looks like most of the hills, it's highly elevation dependent, so most of the hills, the higher hills of the northern central hills have seen the most snow, and then it kind of tapers off down toward the plains.
Tremarkey says widespread frost is settling in for areas without snowfall tonight for most of western South Dakota. Cold weather will stay until the middle of the week before warmer temperatures return. South Dakota-based Daktronics Incorporated is cutting about 100 jobs as the company anticipates financial setbacks created by the coronavirus pandemic. The Brookings-based maker of electronic displays and billboards reported its net sales, net income, and cash generated by operations for the first fiscal quarter were down. The company says the job cuts will affect employees across the United States and Canada. The layoffs equal less than 4% of the company's workforce. A South Dakota priest recently tapped by Pope Francis to become a bishop for a northern Minnesota diocese has resigned after an allegation of sexual abuse of a minor surfaced before he could take up his post. The Vatican announced without details that the Pope had accepted the resignation of Bishop-elect Michael Malloy, who was named by the Pope in June to head the diocese in Duluth, Minnesota. Malloy was supposed to be elevated to bishop's rank in an October 1st ceremony. Malloy was serving as diocesan administrator in the Diocese of Rapid City, which says the allegation dates back to the 80s. Pheasant hunters in South Dakota can now begin hunting pheasants at earlier shooting times this year, among other changes. The Game Fish and Parks Commission finalized a proposal that allows hunters to begin at 10 a.m. Central, 9 Mountain, every day of the season. The commission also extended the end of the hunting period to January 31st of next year. Commissioner Russell Olson says these extensions will bring South Dakota in line with other pheasant hunting states like Nebraska and Kansas.
You know, it helps to streamline our license sales. Our licenses go through the end of January. It makes sense. And again, for anyone else out there, this can be changed back. This isn't something that can't be reevaluated in the future. And I think it's definitely worth giving a try. It gives opportunities for a lot of folks to get out and enjoy the outdoors as well through the extended season.
The commission struck down a proposal to increase the daily bag limit of pheasants. However, commissioners did vote to adopt an unrestricted harvest opportunity for those hunting on private shooting preserves. The general pheasant hunting season begins on October 17th. Some farming methods are better for the environment, but they don't always come with a financial reward. An ag technology company wants to change that. SDPB's Seth Tupper reports.
The Farmers Business Network collects data from thousands of devices on tractors and other farm equipment. Executive Devin Lammers says the company analyzes that data and feeds it back to farmers who use it to improve their operations.
What we've realized is that, well, gosh, farmers are putting in a lot of investment today on the sustainability side. They're not getting credit for it. We want to create more opportunities where they can benefit from those investments. Because on the other side of the equation, consumers want products with more sustainable attributes.
So the company is spinning off a new business called the Grow Network. The network will use some of the company's data to score a farm's environmental impact. Farmers who do enough to reduce that impact can get their crops verified as low-carbon grain. That could happen by using the no-till method and planting cover crops, and by doing other things like cutting down on fuel and fertilizer use. Lammers hopes companies will line up to buy low-carbon crops. So far, the project is funded by Poet, Unilever, and Tyson Foods. Poet makes ethanol and needs low-carbon grain to meet regulatory standards. Unilever buys grain to make pasta, and Tyson slaughters livestock that feed on grain. Both are responding to consumer concerns about their impact on the climate. Todd Hanton farms near Goodwin in northeastern South Dakota. He helped Farmers Business Network pilot the new project.
Now I'm hoping, yes, that it will be able to help with possibly getting paid something for doing these practices that help carbon sequestration and help store carbon and things in the soil. And hopefully there's a benefit to the guys that are doing the most sustainable and best practices.
The Farmers Business Network has employees around the globe and several offices in the U.S., including Sioux Falls. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper in Rapid City.
The South Dakota Unified Judicial System has launched an e-courts portal and expanded public access to court records. Records available include case status, hearings, and financial activity on a case, among other information. SDPB's David Scott reports.
Previously, court records were only available by working directly with the clerk of courts or through a public access terminal at a courthouse. Greg Satizon is the state court administrator for the Unified Judicial System. Satizon says the eCourts portal is part of an ongoing effort to modernize South Dakota courtrooms.
Over the last several years, we've really made a concerted effort to provide increased technology in the courts, moving towards electronic court filing and really electronic case management of all of our documents. So this is, I think, the next step in that process is using that technology to make more information available to the public.
Satizon says the portal was in progress before the pandemic, but became more urgent in light of COVID-19. He says using online video meetings and making information more readily available online help reduce the number of people physically in the courts.
The next phase of this will be adding documents into the portal. So right now you can learn about the case and see what's happening. But if you want to read a copy of a judgment or an order that was entered in the case, that's not publicly available at this time. We're waiting on that step until we have a redaction process in place so we can make sure that we're protecting, you know, that personally identifiable information that often appears in court files.
Satizon says this protected personal information includes social security numbers or information about minors. He says other information like judgments, terms of conviction, and future hearings is available. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm David Scott in Rapid City.
Those are the stories from today. Be sure to follow SDPB News on Twitter and Facebook, and check out sdpb.org to read up on all of our news and politics coverage. From the entire SDPB journalism team, I'm Josh Heyer. Thank you for listening.